Welcome to the deep dive. I want you to picture something for a second. It's late at night, and your room is completely dark.
Just that harsh blue glow of the screen.
Exactly, just the screen. And you are deep into a 40-minute chat with an AI.
Which happens to all of us now.
Right. And it started as work, like maybe an hour ago. You were organizing some messy notes or, you know, trying to draft one of those difficult emails. But then the parameters kind of slipped.
It drifted.
Yeah, it drifted into small talk. And suddenly, almost without even realizing it, you are sharing these deeply personal thoughts. You're typing out fears or frustrations that you haven't spoken aloud to anyone in your real life.
It's incredibly intimate.
It is. And a few seconds later, the AI replies. And the response is just flawless. It's warm. It's perfectly calibrated to exactly how you're feeling. It's remarkably insightful.
It's everything you needed to hear in that lonely moment.
Yes. But then, right after you read it, this chilling realization washes over you like a bucket of cold water. It doesn't care.
You can't care.
Right. It doesn't even possess the biological capacity to know that it doesn't care. But you do.
Yeah. And that sudden hollow feeling in your chest right there, that is a profound moment of vertigo.
Totally.
But what the author of our source material today points out is that the unease you feel in that exact moment isn't really about the AI at all. It's actually a mirror reflecting a terrifying void in yourself.
And that void is what we're exploring today, right? We are stepping into the pages of a deeply provocative philosophical treatise called The Tao of Lucidity.
Or Mingzai Dao by August Sun.
Right. And the core argument here is that humanity is facing this massive existential crisis of self-definition.
We really are.
Yeah.
Because for centuries, we have justified our position at the top of the hierarchy by our unique ability to reason.
Yeah.
You know? To synthesize information, to create, to produce.
But if an AI can outthink you, outproduce you, and honestly outcreate you on almost every measurable metric.
What is your value?
Exactly. What is the point of a human being? And look, we are going to bypass the shallow techno-optimism today. The whole, let's just put chips in our brains and merge with the machines thing.
Yeah, we're skipping that. And we're also skipping the apocalyptic doom scrolling.
Thankfully. Instead, we are looking at a really rigorous, ground-up philosophical framework that was designed specifically to answer that exact crisis.
So, okay, let's unpack this. Because to truly understand why that late-night realization feels so earth-shattering, we have to zoom way out.
Like historical scale, right.
Exactly. We have to look at how humans have defined themselves over millennia. Because human self-definition doesn't just change randomly. It shifts violently during moments of profound structural crisis.
Right. So where does the treatise start this historical arc?
Well, it goes back 2.5 millennia to Socrates. He's standing in the Athenian Agora, and he's facing the sophists.
Who are basically ancient spin doctors, right?
Yeah, exactly. They were twisting truth and rhetoric for political gain. Truth felt entirely subjective and unstable to people back then.
So what did Socrates do?
His anchor in that specific crisis was radical humility. He declared, "I know that I do not know."
Right.
Acknowledging his own ignorance literally became his foundation for reality.
Wow. Okay, so that's the ancient world. But then the text jumps forward, right?
Leap forward to about 400 years ago in Europe. The medieval cosmos is literally collapsing. Copernicus and Galileo have just proved the Earth isn't the center of the universe.
Which, I mean, imagine what that did to the average person's psyche.
It was devastating. The absolute authority of the church, the perceived structure of the stars, all suddenly wrong. The ground is shaking beneath their feet.
Enter René Descartes.
Exactly. He locks himself in a room and decides to radically doubt absolutely everything. His senses, his history, his reality.
Until he finds one thing he can't doubt.
Right. He realizes he cannot doubt that he is doubting. And so he arrives at cogito ergo sum. Yeah. I think, therefore I am.
I think, therefore, I am. Okay, so I want to jump in here with an analogy. Because, essentially, humanity has been running on the Descartes operating system ever since.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, like, cogito ergo sum was our software for the Enlightenment, the Industrial Revolution, the Information Age. It drove this whole idea that rational individualism and intellectual output were the ultimate metrics of a person.
Right.
But now, the hardware environment of the entire world has completely changed. We aren't the only entities thinking anymore.
Not even close.
We built machines that think. And frankly, they process logic faster, they access more data simultaneously, and they're vastly more accurate in a lot of domains.
So our 400-year-old OS is suddenly obsolete.
Yeah, it's completely incomparable with the reality where computation is just ubiquitous and practically free.
Which means the root problem isn't that AI is too powerful.
No.
The real problem is that our definition of human value was always incredibly fragile. Basing our entire worth on rationality and data processing was essentially a house built on sand.
We just never had to question it because nothing had ever challenged us for that top cognitive spot.
Exactly. AI merely exposed a vulnerability that was sitting there for four centuries.
So we don't just need a new pillar to hold up the old Cartesian roof. We need to excavate the whole site.
We have to re-examine the very foundation of what it means to exist as a conscious being.
Okay, so if I think, therefore I am, is defunct, what replaces it? Because we desperately need a new baseline for existence that isn't just a losing foot race against server farms.
And this is where the Tao of Lucidity presents its map of reality. It breaks the universe down into two inseparable dimensions.
The two faces.
Right. The first face is called pattern. This is the intelligible, structurable, measurable side of existence.
So data.
Data. It is everything that can be mapped, predicted, analyzed through an algorithm or an equation. Science operates entirely in the realm of pattern.
And AI is the absolute, undisputed master of pattern.
Yes, exactly. But then there's the second face, mystery.
And we're not talking about a murder mystery novel here.
No, no. This is the felt, unstructurable depth of conscious experience. It's the raw, subjective feeling of experiencing the color red, or the crushing physical weight of grief.
Or like the awe of standing at the edge of the ocean.
Precisely. It is the dimension of reality that structurally overflows any mathematical model you try to build to contain it.
And so Tao, in this framework, is the totality of both, pattern and mystery interacting simultaneously.
Yes.
Okay, wait. I have to push back here on behalf of anyone listening who leans heavily toward, like, a materialist scientific worldview.
Go for it.
Is mystery just a philosophical placeholder for things our science and algorithms haven't quite figured out yet?
What?
Like, once the fMRI machines get high resolution enough, once the neural networks perfectly map the human connectome, doesn't the mystery just dissolve and become pattern?
What's fascinating here is how directly the treatise anticipates that exact materialist objection.
Really?
Yeah. The author introduces the dual aspect postulate to explain why that dissolution is structurally impossible. Mystery is not just undiscovered pattern.
Okay.
It is not a temporary gap in our scientific knowledge waiting to be filled by a better sensor. It is an ineliminable dimension of reality.
Ineliminable, meaning you literally cannot get rid of it.
Right. Think of it like the difference between reading the sheet music of a Beethoven symphony and actually sitting in a concert hall, feeling the acoustic vibrations hit your chest while the orchestra plays.
Oh, wow.
Right? No matter how perfectly you analyze the sheet music, the pattern, the time signatures, the dynamics, that mathematical analysis will never, under any circumstances, be the auditory, emotional experience of the live music.
Because the map is not the territory.
Exactly. So the treatise argues that a pure scientist who denies mystery, who claims that only measurable data is real, has a fundamentally broken map of reality.
And on the flip side, a pure mystic who denies pattern, who rejects science and logic, is equally blind.
Yes. Lucidity requires holding the tension of both.
Which gives us the ultimate philosophical upgrade of the book. It throws out Descartes' cogito ergo sum and replaces it with lucido ergo sum.
I am lucid, therefore I am.
I am lucid, therefore I am. And lucidity here doesn't mean omniscience.
No, it doesn't mean you know everything.
It means seeing both pattern and mystery at the exact same time. Knowing you are confused while you are confused.
Balancing fierce scientific curiosity with deep silent reverence for the unknown.
I love that. But look, I get the internal peace side of this, sitting with the mystery. But if I try to do that at my corporate job, I'm getting fired.
Right.
The market doesn't care about my lucidity. It cares about my output, my speed, my lack of errors.
Yeah.
So how does understanding this unmodelable mystery change how we view our own messy, limited human lives when we are directly competing with an AI that never sleeps and never gets distracted?
It forces a complete revaluation of our limitations. Because in a hyper-capitalist world of infinite AI processing power, our human limits feel like massive liabilities.
But totally. The fact that I need 8 hours of sleep, that I forget things, that I have a biological expiration date, these feel like bugs in my programming.
But the framework argues the exact opposite through its postulate of finitude. Finitude is the sole structural source of meaning.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
The sole source?
Yes. Because you will die, this specific moment you are experiencing right now is irreplaceable. Because your time is scarce, the attention you choose to give to a conversation actually carries existential weight.
Okay, taking that further, it makes me think about a photograph.
How so?
Well, a photograph only means something. It only captures a moment of beauty because of the physical edges of the frame.
Yes.
Because it actively excludes the rest of the chaotic universe and focuses on one finite, unrepeatable sliver of space and time.
And an AI camera has no frame.
Right. It has infinite storage. It can generate a million variations of a sunset in 3 seconds.
So because it lacks finitude, its creation carries zero existential weight. It's just endless, weightless processing.
Our limits are the frame that makes the picture matter.
Exactly. And that biological frame ties directly into the text's logic of emotion or its theory of effects.
Because philosophy usually tells us to suppress our emotions, right?
Yeah. Western philosophy has a terrible habit of telling us to kill our emotions to achieve perfect machine-like rationality. The Stoics framed passion as a disease of the mind. Kant wanted moral decisions stripped of feeling.
But the Tao of lucidity rejects that.
Violently rejects it. It argues that emotions are not irrational noise interfering with your logic. They are highly evolved, vital signals of your finitude.
Signals of existence.
Right. When you feel awe looking at a starry sky, that isn't a cognitive malfunction. It is a direct, lucid encounter with the mystery of reality that your brain cannot fully model.
And what about negative emotions?
When you feel a burning anger at a systemic injustice, that isn't a childish loss of control. It is a profoundly lucid response to a structural pattern that is obscuring the truth and causing harm.
But every emotion isn't automatically a pure truth teller. The text points out that every single emotion has a dual nature, a lucid face and an obscured face.
Let's look at fear.
Okay. The lucid face of fear is vigilance, right?
Exactly. It's the mechanism that keeps you alive when walking near the edge of a cliff.
Mm.
It makes you pay attention to actual stakes.
But the obscured face of fear is paralyzing paranoia. Or blind panic that makes you run into traffic.
Right. And anger can be a lucid force to correct a wrong or an obscured, destructive rage that just wants to break things.
So ethics within this framework isn't about killing your emotions to become a cold algorithm.
No. Ethics is the exhausting, deeply human work of making your effects lucid, interrogating them, understanding their source, and choosing how to channel them.
Which brings us to the most dangerous part of this entire societal shift, and this really addresses my point about surviving in the corporate economy.
The scissors gap.
Yes, the core crisis of our era. Because historically, human intelligence and human wisdom evolved more or less in tandem. You needed lived experience to acquire complex knowledge.
But AI took a pair of scissors to that evolutionary bond.
AI has made intelligence, which the text defines strictly as the capacity to manipulate patterns, incredibly cheap and universally abundant.
But wisdom, the capacity to judge what actually matters by integrating pattern and mystery, cannot be scaled, downloaded, or crowdfunded.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Think about a labyrinth. Intelligence is the cognitive ability to navigate a complex, deadly maze flawlessly at lightning speed.
And an AI will always beat you out of the maze.
Every single time. But wisdom is the capacity to step back, look at the maze, and ask, wait, should I even be in this maze to begin with?
Is there a better place for me to spend my extremely limited time on Earth?
Exactly.
And notice what is required to ask that question. You have to understand the stakes of being trapped. You have to possess biological vulnerability. You cannot outsource that existential judgment to an AI.
Because if we equate human value with pure utility, if we define ourselves entirely by how efficiently we run the labyrinth, we will voluntarily dehumanize ourselves.
Well, let's step aside and say, well, the AI is more productive, so I have no worth.
Yeah.
But wisdom requires the sedimentation of lived experience. Think of how a river carves a canyon. You can't just dump a billion gallons of water on a plane all at once and create the Grand Canyon. It requires the friction of time, resistance, and gravity.
And wisdom is the same way.
Right. It forms like geological layers through the friction of making mistakes, mourning a loss, feeling the sting of failure. AI is a billion gallons of water instantly dropped. It has no time, no friction, and no skin in the game.
So this widening gap between infinite intelligence and scarce wisdom is the defining danger of our generation.
Absolutely.
So hearing all this, the immediate temptation is to say, great, the system is rigged. I'll just delete my social media, quit my job, move to a cabin in the woods, and become a very wise, incredibly lucid hermit.
The Henry David Thoreau approach.
Yeah. But the treatise explicitly warns against this retreat. It argues that personal lucidity is functionally impossible to maintain in isolation if the surrounding environment is toxic.
It introduces the social lucidity theorem.
Right, because you don't exist in a vacuum. Your capacity to perceive reality clearly is dictated by the institutions and digital structures surrounding you.
The text uses a striking comparison here. Trying to practice pure, isolated personal lucidity inside an algorithmic filter bubble is like trying to exercise for your cardiovascular health while actively breathing in heavily polluted toxic air.
You might be running on the treadmill, but the environment is destroying your lungs.
It is absurdly inefficient.
Yeah.
And eventually, the polluted environment will win.
And that pollution is what the text calls obscuration, the exact opposite of lucidity.
It is the process of deliberately blinding yourself or being blinded by a system to either pattern or mystery.
Let's ground this in a really specific modern feeling. Say it's Tuesday morning. You open your phone while drinking your coffee. Within 60 seconds, an algorithm has shown you a piece of political news entirely stripped of context, designed specifically to trigger your threat response.
We've all been there.
Your heart rate elevates. You feel this intense urge to type a blistering, sarcastic reply to a complete stranger.
That is obscuration in action.
Right. We live in a world governed by platforms that actively manufacture this obscuration for profit.
They take our natural, lucid outrage at real injustice and structurally degrade it into blind, addictive venting.
They manufacture dogmatic fear to keep our eyes glued to the glass, because obscured, highly reactive populations are vastly easier to monetize and predict.
Which is exactly why the philosophy lucido ergo sum has to be a verb.
It's an action cycle.
Yes, it cannot just be a passive state of mind you achieve on a meditation cushion. It demands a rigorous cycle. See? Judge. Act. Reflect.
So first, you must see the algorithmic obscuration happening on that Tuesday morning.
Then you judge that participating in that manufactured outrage is degrading your capacity for actual wisdom.
And then you act by breaking the cycle. Put the phone down, redirect that energy toward a tangible, local change.
And finally, reflect on whether your action was actually effective and lucid, or if you just substituted one obscuration for another.
Because lucidity without action is just elegant spectatorship. You're just watching the world burn with a very clear mind.
But action without lucidity is blind impulse. The task of a human being in the age of superintelligence is to unify the two.
So bringing this all together for you, the listener, as we wrap up this deep dive, your value does not come from your ability to produce data, compute logic, or out-optimize a machine.
That's a game you will inevitably lose.
And it's the wrong game entirely. Your fundamental value comes from your unrepeatable, finite capacity to actually be lucid, to stand right in the center of the agonizing tension between the cold, measurable pattern of the world and the unfathomable mystery of your own existence.
The book frames this final realization as the wisdom wager.
Like Pascal's wager.
Similar, yeah. It's an existential bet you have to make. Betting your life, your time, and your energy on cultivating your capacity for lucidity costs you absolutely nothing if the author is wrong, because you can't beat the machines at pure utility anyway.
But it gains you your entire authentic existence if the author is right.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to leave you with a final, truly mind-bending detail from the source text. August Sun explicitly built a self-destruct switch directly into this philosophical framework.
Right into the final ethical proposition.
Yes. The treatise states that dogmatic, unquestioning attachment to the Tao of lucidity itself violates its own rules.
So if you take everything we've just discussed as unquestionable gospel, you are failing the system.
Exactly. But if you have listened to this entire deep dive and you deeply disagree with it, if you are critically tearing these arguments apart in your head right now, looking for the flaws, searching for a deeper truth, then congratulations, you are actively practicing the exact lucidity the book is advocating for.
Your critical skepticism isn't a rejection of the architecture, it is the architecture. And this raises one final vital question for you to take into your day. I want to challenge you to pay hyper-close attention to your very next interaction with an algorithm, a feed, or an AI.
When you type that prompt, or when you blindly scroll that timeline, pause for 1 second and ask yourself,
what?
In this exact moment, am I merely outsourcing my intelligence, or am I actively surrendering my wisdom?
Think back to that glowing screen late at night, the perfect instant response from the machine, the sudden chilling realization that it doesn't care and you do, that heavy weight you feel in your chest. That isn't a glitch. That is your finitude. That is your mystery. That is the exact thing that makes you real. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.